Always good to be here, RJ, and we start here on Straight Outta Vegas in the NFL. You mentioned it, a trade earlier today. It cannot be official until about a month from now when the new league year starts, but Joe Flacco, longtime Baltimore Raven, won a Super Bowl with the Ravens, is now a Denver Bronco in exchange for a fourth-round pick. So, what is the Vegas perspective, RJ, on the move between Denver and Baltimore?
Well, what Vegas does... what Straight Outta Vegas does better than any show is use the Vegas market as an objective measure of opinion. It's easy to gibber. It's easy to jabber. But all that gibber jabber, people aren't betting on it. When the markets move, it's money moving those markets. Brad Powers, you follow the markets closely. Give us, for both teams here, Baltimore, Denver, what is the Vegas verdict on this trade?
So as of 10 days ago, Baltimore Ravens future odds for the championship Super Bowl next year, 33-1. Today, RJ, for Baltimore, 30-1. Denver.
So slight improvement.
Slight improvement. As far as Denver is concerned, as of 10 days ago, the Broncos were 90-1. Now the Broncos 75-1, a little bit more than slight improvement.
Yeah, so in both cases, slight improvement. It seems a little better for Denver, but it's easier to go. If you think about it, it's about a 10% improvement from 33 to 30. So 90s, a little more in 10, but right in that range. Now, if only we had an NFL expert. Wait a minute. There's only one two-time Super Contest champion. Only one of them.
In all the five boroughs, I'm known. I'm known all over the f***ing world.
He's Steve Fezzik. He's one of the pros. What is the Fezzik take on this trade?
Going to upgrade Denver. I like Flacco as a quarterback better than Keenum. Half-point upgrade. So I'm not high on Flacco. I'm just very down on Case Keenum.
Okay, and what do you do? Well, let's start there. Let's start with Denver. To me, the main question I had when I heard this trade is, what do they do with Keenum? Because on one hand, you could say, man, it'd be nice. You got two, you know, middling, but probably worse than middling quarterbacks. And you do a quarterback rating, 1 to 32, Fez, for starters. Where do you have Flacco?
Flacco is number 24 in my ratings.
Now, that's fascinating. Now, where right now would you have Lamar Jackson?
24 as well. It's a virtual heat.
That's curious. They're just exactly tied.
Yes.
Okay. We'll let that one go. And where do you have Keenum?
Keenum is number 29.
All right. So the theory being Keenum's one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yes.
Do we agree with that? Does that feel right to you, Brad?
Yeah, it does.
I just wonder if Keenum didn't have the years prior to his last year with the Vikings, meaning his last year with the Vikings was shockingly good.
Yep.
So not last year, but the year before, calendar year wise. I think he had the third best QBR in the NFL. I mean, he was a top quarterback. Now the debate was, is that an aberration? He was pretty deep in his career, old to like have some kind of quantum leap. Or was it, hey, he finally figured it out? Now, obviously, John Elway felt like Keenum figured it out, or why would he have paid so much money? I mean, Keenum was paid real money last year, and he's owed real money this year. So the idea that Flacco, who some people truly consider the worst starting quarterback, and would you agree, Fez, and there's nothing wrong with a professional bettor to have an opinion different than the consensus of other professional bettors. That's how you make money. They think one thing, you think the other. If you're right, you win. Like, you and I disagree a lot. We press the green button, and you end up mostly paying me. Right. So that's the way things happen. Do you agree you're probably higher on Flacco than most in Vegas?
Probably, yes.
Because my sense is a lot of people were like, Flacco, worst quarter. If you look at yards per attempt, there's a lot of ways you can parse it. But I think there's some real optimism you're showing for Flacco.
Yes, and to summarize, Flacco has eroded. If you look at his stats from 2014 to 2017, they kept getting worse. And I actually had Flacco 29th going into this year.
Whoa.
A year ago.
Stop the clock. So you're saying that he was 29th a year ago.
Yes.
When he takes his next snap, he'll be 24 months older, 2 years older, a lumbering, almost like a Frankenstein moving quarterback. And he's been pretty much hurt for the last, 3 years? Some back, some problems seem to be perpetual, but somehow he's improved.
Well, he's only 34.
Is it just because you're moving towards 60 and you're hoping that maybe with age things don't really always get worse?
You know, interesting. That would be a logical thing for me to do, but I'm always critical of Tom Brady's ability to get it done going forward at 42. Exactly,
but somehow it's because I think there's some envy with Brady. With Flacco, you look and go, I don't really need to feel envious of this dude. Maybe he'll come back. But really, why would he get better?
Because he had, for the first time in his career, he basically got the last 2 months of the year off, RJ, to heal up when Lamar Jackson went ahead and took over. I think that's a positive for this year coming forward.
Well, hold on a second. So you're saying having 7 months off instead of 5 months, if he were going to be playing some big game in January, whereas instead of having to play September, October, November, December, somehow he was out for 6 weeks, had enough time to get the rust off, but then was coming back for a playoff run, that would make sense. But 5 months off, 7 months off, it's like if you sleep 11 hours or if you sleep 18 hours, you've slept enough. I mean, if anything, rest becomes a problem more than rest.
Well, I think instead of taking hits for 17 weeks, only taking hits for 8 or 9.
So what you're saying, hold on. What you're saying is perhaps his deterioration, Flacco's drop off due to age, was slowed by not taking those hits. But it wouldn't reverse itself, right? So it's either he's physically older, right? That's happening. No doubt. That's physics. It's happening. If he's getting banged up, let's say he went on a meth binge and didn't sleep for 4 months, right? Flacco would age quicker, right? I agree with you that Flacco not taking a bunch of hits probably slows the aging process, the football aging process down. But it doesn't make him younger. He will be older this September than he was 2 years ago when you said he was number 29. So how did he get better?
Well, if you look at his stats in 2018, he was the 18th rated QBR quarterback in the league.
Now that gets interesting. That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bo, straight out of Vegas. I think there's a reason for that. And I think it's Lamar Jackson. Wasn't that the narrative? The narrative was, Lamar Jackson's pressing him. He's been, since that Super Bowl, he's been floating above it all. And I think for a while, Flacco did play better. The stats say it. If they kept Case Keenum, the Broncos, maybe the same phenomenon. Mm. Two veteran quarterbacks, let him battle it out. Who knows? But the plan we just heard on the Fox Sports Radio news update is to cut him if they can't trade him. So now it's Flacco and whom? Where's the competition? And if anything, it's like it's almost like he's got next year's contract locked up because you're not going to bring somebody in mid-year. So the fact, who's Denver's third-string quarterback?
Don't even know if Simeon's still with them or if he's long gone.
So the idea that Flacco will have zero real competition. And it's not like you can pull back really good backup quarterbacks out of a hat. So what we're saying is Flacco was number 29 in Steve Fezzik's ratings 2 years ago. This September, he'll be 2 years older. The idea is, he was playing better, though, in 18. But I think we all agree a lot of that was Lamar Jackson at his heels. Now in Denver, no one at his heels. But he's going to play better?
This is
me being a little skeptical, if you can't tell.
I think you bring up an excellent point because I know for a fact that Flacco responded to the drafting of Lamar Jackson for the first time. All these voluntary workouts during the offseason, he was all in working with his wide receivers, and there's a reason he improved in 2018 because of that extra effort.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Guys, in a phrase that you would probably imagine would be written on the back of a No Fear t-shirt, Antonio Brown sent this out on Twitter: don't be tolerated, be celebrated. This is 24 hours after he announced and made it public that he would like a request, trade request from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yesterday, we talked about the odds. The Steelers are the favorite to have Antonio Brown on the roster come week one of next season. So 24 hours later, another meaningless tweet. Do we see any changes in Vegas, RJ?
Meaningless as in to winning and losing doesn't mean anything. I agree with you, Jonas, but it feels like he's digging himself in. Meaning, if you say, I think we've all with partners have had situations where you have arguments, and then there's that certain phrase perhaps that once you say, like, it's been in the back of your mind, or maybe it's been in the back of their mind, and then it's finally said, and then you don't come back from it, right? You can try, but you don't. It feels like this is meaningful, that Brown is moving towards saying things that will make it very hard for him to return to Pittsburgh. That said, Vegas does this very well. Brad Powers, what are the current odds on where Brown plays next season?
Well, there's been a change in the last 24 hours. Yesterday, the Steelers were still the favorite for Antonio Brown to play week one next year. Now it's the Arizona Cardinals plus 450, the new favorite to land Antonio Brown. Steelers 5-1.
Okay, so really what we're saying is no big favorite either way. Who's third and fourth?
49ers and Dolphins are plus 550.
So they're all in the same range.
Yep.
So it's Cardinals, Steelers, 49ers, Dolphins,
yep,
the favorite right now, yep, to land Brown.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
All right, guys. So one of the surprises over the weekend in the world of sports was the popularity of the AAF. That is not a professional wrestling organization. That is the American Alliance of Football. And the ratings did well. There was buzz on social media. There's the gambling aspect. From Vegas's point of view, RJ, how do you look at the success early on of the AAF?
You know, personally, it made me, I questioned if a real man could really like the AAF.
I represent what a real man is.
But, maybe I was wrong. A lot of love for it. And what I heard from some local bookies in Vegas is there was a massive amount of in-game betting. Now, what's that? That means before, there's pregame, pregame.com, pregame, and then the game starts, and you can bet with your app in-game. Fez, you're one of the best at it. ESPN literally sent a film crew to Vegas, a crew, a few years ago to watch Fez do in-game betting. He did a big profile on it, like the Mozart of in-game betting. Now, Brad's Tate, who knows? Brad might be better at that soon enough. But but what we know is that the idea that there was more in-game betting than pre-game betting was that people came in saying, I don't have any idea about, I've heard of this Hackenberg, this coach I remember. But I think people were very uncertain how to handicap it. But then once they started watching it, it was like, okay, this team seems to be blowing this team out of the ball. Oh, that guy's throwing a spiral better than Lamar Jackson. Like, whatever the eye test was, it got people involved. So my thought is that as the games progress, the AAF people are going to get more comfortable when it comes to who's playing, the matchups. And maybe the betting is going to be a lot more significant than I thought. Thoughts, fast.
I agree, and I think the mere fact that it's on TV, what else am I going to do on a Sunday? I got no football.
I mean, yeah, your boy, go play toss with your boy, but why would you do that?
No, not when Memphis is playing Birmingham, and it's Christian Hackenberg. What, I can bet against him again? Absolutely. Oh,
actually, you're making an amazing point. This is a chance to fade the people we've made so much money fading even again. Oh, I'm having a mental block. Who was the Jets quarterback all that time that was so bad? Then he went to the Giants.
Geno Smith.
Geno Smith. I mean, I literally have a pool table named Geno Smith, a Brunswick. I mean, I hope he gets in this league. So, Fed, did you in-game bet it?
Yeah, I bet against Hackenberg. They talked all during the pregame about how, oh, he changed his mechanics and he finally fixed what was wrong at Penn State and when he was at the Jets, and then he was then he was every bit as terrible as you can ever remember.
I got to be honest with you. I think we could do a whole hour on this, which we won't, but maybe 10 minutes at a time for the next couple weeks. It's really not about how good players are, because college football, right? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, but remember the European League we had?
Yep.
That was a much better level of competition than college football,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But why wasn't anyone watching it? To me, it's having someone to root for. I mean, if you think about Friday Night Lights, for example, right? The show, but also the concept behind the show.
This is the game that people are going to talk about for years to come.
These are high school players in Texas filling up literally 40, 50,000 seat stadiums. It's not about how good they are. It's about a rooting interest. And to me, these players, now listen, if you can't complete a pass, you know, hey, it's hard to watch. But as long as there's competence, it's about rooting. Here's my question, though. How do you ever get such a rooting interest in a new league? I just don't think it's possible. Meaning, I'm a Steeler fan because 40 years ago when I was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, I was rooting for the Steelers and had a Terry Bradshaw jersey. How does the AAF replicate that?
I think a smart thing they did is they put all these franchises in cities that don't have an NFL team.
But how long is it going to take to care? Because what are the odds that the AAF is around in 7 years?
That's true, but if a team is winning right out of the gate, we've seen that here. We've never had in Vegas a sports team.
But remember now, you know, that's an interesting point because has there been any other city that there's been a franchise move that really, usually a franchise moves because it's a troubled franchise.
Yeah.
What other city has ever really embraced, and you know, so like OKC's kind of embraced, but I mean, you know, I mean, it just feels like that typically when franchises move, the new city's ambivalent about. I mean, the Rams even aren't getting embraced, and they've been here before. And the Chargers are not getting embraced at all by L.A. So to me, that's the ultimate question. If you ask yourself, why do people care beyond gambling, beyond fantasy, about these games, why is there a rooting interest? It's usually about legacy. And it's just so hard for a league to gain legacy. But maybe they've got a 20-year horizon. Because remember, if you read about the history of the NFL, you know, I'm actually reading the new Bill Belichick book right now. Belichick was with the Colts in 75. That was his first year coaching. He was like a volunteer assistant. And they literally would change for practice outside. So literally in 1975, an NFL team, you know, had infrastructure like, less than a high school team. And now it feels different, right? Now it's billions and billions and billions. What the heck? I mean, the guys that were playing the NFL in the 50s were selling used cars in the offseason. So maybe the only way an AAF can work is with a 20, 30-year horizon. It's just in the internet, Twitter age, I'm not sure people have 20-year horizons.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. There is a bet to be paid, to be settled on, and it surrounds a game last night that was on TNT that we discussed. It was the Celtics and the 76ers. Boston, no Kyrie Irving, no problem. A 112-109 win at Philadelphia. So, RJ, what does that mean, and whose pockets are a little lighter here on a Wednesday?
Now, listen, I don't want any people. Some people say I have a silver tongue and I can spin things. I don't want to spin anything Brad and I bet, and I'm going to give Brad every unbiased chance to respond to the result.
Oh, well, here's what happened with me. I'm not an NBA originer, unlike Steve Fezzik. So what I did was Steve, even though he wasn't here yesterday, he sent in his notes on the game. So this is a lesson for you kids at home. If you're looking to copy other people's homework, make sure that person knows exactly what they're talking about before you do that. I did that, came up on the short end. RJ took me to town.
So what you're saying is you had no opinion. It was just reliance on Fezzik.
I had no opinion whatsoever. I copied off of Fez. I looked at his notes.
Any response, Fez?
Yeah, I told Brad it's a lean on Philadelphia. I don't know how that turned into a bet.
That is true, but somehow
you baited me.
I baited you. Yeah. So $100. Now listen, let's just say that I caught pizza money, these kind of bets, but you know, sometimes get faux gras on the pizza because 100's a nice number. Who are we kidding?
Guys, that's not the only disagreement we've got here on the show involving the NBA and another historic franchise, as the Lakers lost to the Hawks 117-113 in Atlanta. LA is now below 500 on the season heading into the All-Star break after last night's defeat to the Hawks. So there's a disagreement here between two members of the show. RJ, what are we looking at here? Who's fighting now?
Well, I got to be honest. This was one of the real heavy disagreements. And it strikes me that Fez might have the best of it here. So to recap, it was after last Thursday's surprising victory when the Lakers went into Boston and won. And Brad said, now, try to follow this because it was kind of whipsaw. And originally, Brad's like, bet against every Lakers game the rest of the year. But then after this one game, he's like, hold the phone. I've reconsidered. So the question becomes, Brad, now the Lakers, since that game, haven't looked so good.
No.
Have you swung all the way back?
I have. I'm a teeter-totter on this one. And here's another example for you kids back home when you're not 100%.
So really, the example for the kids in general is don't do what you do.
Don't do what I did. Here, in this case, if you're not 100% sure of an answer, go with your initial first gut instinct.
So you're still really pessimistic, or you've now gone back to being
gone pessimistic. It's tough to find a lot of good things to say about the Lakers.
Fez, you want to take 20 seconds to gloat?
Yeah, the Lakers feels they're expendable. They all got put on the chopping block about to be traded. They've been outscored now, the Lakers, by 82 points the last five games. And really,
he took the time to do the math on that.
They should be 0-5 other than a franchise record performance from three against Boston. They'd be 0-5. And the Lakers' playoff chances are down to about 20% now.
So in general, though, you guys both post-All-Star break looking to fade the Lakers.
Yep.
Guys, we got a doubleheader in the NBA coming up on ESPN, tipping off a little over an hour from now in Minnesota. It is the Rockets at the Timberwolves. Right now on pregame.com, Houston, a 4-point favorite.
I lean to Houston. It's all about Minnesota's suspect motivation. They're unlikely to make the playoffs. Minnesota's down to a 10% chance, and they were supposed to be a winning team. Further, how excited can they be to try to do a miraculous playoff run when they know Golden State will wait? I'll go ahead and lean with Houston.
After they go final in Minneapolis, it's the Warriors at the Trailblazers, and Golden State is a 3-point favorite on the road.
I like Portland here. I bet Portland plus the 3. It's all about Golden State being in cruise control mode. Got a 3-game lead in the West now, 16-1 straight up run, but only 1-5 against the spread the last 6 games. I think Golden State's already looking ahead to the All-Star break. Portland off of 2 losses will bring it. I think Portland has a great chance to win this game outright.
So generally, Fez, if there's teams that you think have questionable motivation, is the game before the All-Star break a time they're susceptible because it's like the last day of school or last day before spring break kind of thing?
Absolutely. A great spot to fade a team about to go fishing.
All right. So think about that, guys. If it's every team has a different last game, some are different days, but if it's the last game, ask yourself, is this the type of team that tends to be flat? If they are in the NBA, they'll be flat that game before the All-Star break.
It was a show full of disagreements. If you missed any of it, you can check out the podcast on foxsportsradio.com. The Odd Couple is next. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!